that. Romans chapter number 6, the Bible says in verse number 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." On down, the Bible said in verse number 11, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. We are not under the law, but under grace." And I want to look here in Romans chapter 6 this evening. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the theme that runs through Romans chapter number 6. And he's talking constantly about things that have no more dominion over us, and being made free, the liberty that we have. And so the thought that I have in mind is our position in Christ and how to live in it. Our position in Christ and how to live in it. Our position in Christ as a believer always remains the same. It never changes. We are saved by grace. That never changes. We are dead to sin. That never changes. We are freed from sin. That never changes. Regardless of our state, regardless of our present state, our present walk, what we're doing, our position in Christ never changes. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. That never changes. We are the sons of God. That never changes. Amen. But our state is like the temperature. It goes up and down. But how can I live? How can I live the way that my position in Christ declares me so to be? How am I to live that way? Well, now, let's first look and see what our position is. I had learned from a great man of God years ago that four things you'll find in Romans chapter number 6, four words to the Christian life is know, reckon, yield, and obey. Those four things show you and I how we are to be able to live like our position states us to be. Now, look what the apostle said. He said, what shall we say then? He's talking about the continuance of chapter number 5, that as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, when we were lost and we were bound in our lostness and bound in sin, sin reigned like a king over land. And now, listen, grace has moved into the castle. Amen. And grace is to reign unto eternal life through Jesus Christ. And it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now listen, there's our position is seen in there. We are dead to sin. Dead to sin. That's our position. How, why are we dead to sin? Because grace abounded in our life. God's grace broke through when you and I got saved. Amen. And now you and I are dead to sin. Spiritually, positionally in Christ, dead to sin. Our spiritual man does not know sin anymore. Amen. This body is a body of sin. Paul said in Romans 7, this body of sin. Amen. And so this body of sin is still a great hindrance to you and I feeling or walking in our God-given position. And that's free from sin. And Paul wants you to know your position. The first thing he said, he wants you to know it. You have to know it. I mean, you have to know in your mind something is before that something ever will be. You know it? I say again, you've got to know. You've got to know that something is real. Something's going to work before the process will ever come to pass. Amen. Let me go back to basic man. Man had absolutely no idea that fire could warm him or that there was even such a thing until he actually figured out, I mean, when he knew how it could be made, then it was made. Amen. You've got to know some things. And Paul said, I want you to know your position in Christ. Verse 3, he said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Now that's spiritual, friend. That's not water baptism out here. That's an outward baptism. This is the important, this is the one baptism that counts. You and I being baptized into Jesus Christ, baptized into his death. Amen. Baptized into his death. Now, what does that mean to be baptized? It means to be buried. That's exactly what it means. To be covered over. You and I are buried in the death of Christ. We are buried. We are in Christ. Baptized in Christ. And we are being in Christ. When he died, we died. Amen. When he arose, we arose. We have been baptized into Jesus Christ. And so he wants us to know that. And being baptized into Jesus Christ, we are baptized into his death. Therefore, are we buried with him by baptism into death? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's a great verse right there. That we also should walk in newness of life. It's like a man that's been put in the grave. His life is over. And he's been raised again, given a second chance. Walk in newness of life. I mean, it would be a shame for a man, I mean, after his life, after all of his mistakes, all of his sins, all of his failures. Are you listening? All the things that overwhelmed him and overtook him in his life comes to an end and he's buried. To have the chance for God to raise him from the dead. I'd hate to go back to that same apartment. Amen? I'd hate to go back to that same life. I'd hate to go back to that same corner on the street. Amen? God raised us to give us new life in Christ. Amen? We've got a new life. Walk in newness of life. We have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, this, you can look at it two ways, but this speaks of us, if we're buried, we're planted like a plant. Now listen, it's important that you see the biblical manner of what God wants in your life. God wants you to be planted, amen? Planted like a plant, put in the ground. Amen? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. As Christ was buried, listen, he was put in a tomb. You and I should be buried, put in a tomb, that we'd be raised just like he was raised. Amen? Look at these biblical examples that God put before us. Now look what he said in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. But you've got to know it. Amen? You've got to know that your old man is crucified before that you can realize the body of sin might be destroyed. And then therefore, that you'd not serve sin. That this body is no more made to serve sin. Are you listening? It is to be destroyed. Positionally, it is this body of sin is might be destroyed. Amen? If we know that our old man is crucified, then he is dead. He has been killed. He has been put to death. That's what God wants you and I to see. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Know, reckon, verse number 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You need to reckon yourself. Reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. You ever had somebody ask you something and you knew what the they said the answer and asked you what you thought? I reckon. Well, God right here is saying you need to reckon this. You need to reckon it. You need to reckon it as though it is so. Reckon it to be so. You may not be feeling it, but we don't live by feelings, we live by faith. And we live by fact. The fact of the Word of God, amen? These are the facts. What God said, amen? We don't live by feeling. The worst thing you can do in your Christian life is to live day by day on your feelings. Because your feelings and my feelings are going to go up and down, amen? One day you'll feel like somebody loves you, and the next day you'll feel like maybe they don't. Amen. One day you'll feel like you're close to God, next day you'll feel like you ain't. One day you'll feel in fellowship, next day you'll feel you're not. I mean, our feelings will fluctuate. But if we live by faith in the facts, that's what Brother Milton Taylor used to say.
Live by faith in the facts, in what God said. Amen. I'm dead to sin. Amen. I'm alive unto God. Amen. I'm alive unto God. Boy, I tell you what, when the devil tries to get you down, you ought to just scream that to the top of your lungs. I'm alive unto God. Amen. If he tries to act like he's going to kill you and destroy your life, you ought to say, I'm alive unto God. Amen. And this body of sin, it might be destroyed, that it would not serve sin. I don't have to serve sin. You can reckon that to be so. And you can make that decision every day of your life. Do you know that? Every moment of every second of every day. Every time a temptation comes your way, you and me, listen, we can reckon that we are free from it. God said he'd make a way of escape, didn't he? I can quote that verse. God, you said you was going to make a way of escape. I need that way right now. Amen. I no temptation overtaking you such as is common to man. God will, with that temptation, also make a way of escape. Amen. So reckon it. Death hath no more dominion over him. As Christ was raised from the dead, he dieth no more. Death had no more dominion over him. Verse number 9. For in that he died unto sin once. In that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. I'm dead unto sin. Verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. You see, it is when you and I choose to yield to it that we obey it. We obey it. And we don't have to obey it. We can say, I'm dead to sin, and I'm alive unto God. No, reckon, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. See, you have to yield to something to partake of it. You have to yield to it. You have to yield to it. You have to submit to it. You have to allow yourself to partake of it. Every one of us do. If we're going to do something, then we have to yield our members. But he said, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. What does that mean? What's that talking about, neither yield your members? Well, your members, they're your hands, your arms, your feet, your legs, your eyes, your ears, all the parts of you. These are your members. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. So what does that mean, Brother Mark? Well, it means don't let your eyes be used for lust. Don't let your lip be used for cussing. Don't let your tongue, amen, be used for tasting liquor. Amen. Don't let your feet take you in the wrong direction. Amen. Don't let your hands touch what they're not supposed to touch. Amen. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. If we know that something is unrighteousness, David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I'm not going to use these eyes as unrighteous members. Amen. I'm not going to use these ears for unrighteousness, to listen to smut and filth. Amen? All that you are and every member that you have is given unto the Lord. Amen? Yield yourselves unto God. Amen? These hands belong to God. These eyes, they belong to God. Amen. My mouth, my lips, my tongue, they belong to the Lord. My feet, amen, my legs, they belong to God. This body is the Lord's, amen. It is His to do with. Don't yield to unrighteousness, but yield to God, for sin shall not have dominion over you. It is not king. It is not ruler in your life. Sin cannot make you do what it wants. It does not have dominion. You got to know that, though. If you ever think this is just too much, it's just too big, it's already got you. It's already got you. But when you and I know by the power of Christ, I am free. By the power of the blood of Jesus, amen, by His death, I'm buried with Him. I'm raised to walk in newness of life. I'm a new man with a new life, walking a new path, headed in a new direction, amen. Saved by God's amazing grace. Changed, amen. Now I'm free from sin, and I'm alive unto God. That's the Christian life. Listen, that's your position. On your worst day, that's still your position. Did you know that? If you're saved, on your worst day of carnality, you're still positionally what I just said. Son of God, free. Amen. No, reckon, yield. You have to learn to who you're yielding to. Don't yield as your members as instruments of unrighteousness. It'd be like taking a real precious instrument. Let's just say like a saxophone or something. I've always liked a saxophone. Wished I knew how to play a saxophone. They look cool and they sound cool, man. I mean, I love a saxophone. They've got all those buttons on them, notes and stuff that you push. But could you imagine somebody having that and all they ever used it for was something totally opposite than to make music? Using that, yielding it for some other purpose. That would be a waste of that instrument, wouldn't it? See if I could blow through this saxophone and blow the dirt off of the floor out of the house. It's not to be used for a broom. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Now he said in verse 16, I'm hurrying. Know ye not. Know ye not. There it is again. I want you to know. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Listen, Paul said this. Who you spend the most of your time yielding to, that's whose servant you are. We can't say we're saved if we're always, our members are yielded to sin and the world. We are to be yielded unto God. God wants us to obey. Verse 16, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey. His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, go on down. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, what do I do, Brother Mark? More to help me to live. Well, I wanted to tie in James chapter number 4. There's a great verse. James chapter number 4, several verses. Verse number 7, 8, 9, and 10. This will help you to live in your position. He said, submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Submit. In other words, yield. He's using a different word here. Submit. That means to yield. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. Now listen, that right there is a command. God wants you to submit to God and resist the devil. Now he said in verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. This is a command and a promise. God's commanding us to draw nigh to God. Promise, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Command. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Command. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Command. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. That's a command. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Command. And he shall lift you up. Promise. God gives us a promise amongst these commands. Listen, when the Lord's telling us no, reckon, yield, obey, you're free. Listen, he tells us also how to do that. He commands us not to yield. He commands us not to obey. And he promises us freedom. And he promises us liberty. He promises us here that he'll lift us up. Amen. If we'll humble ourselves. Humbling ourselves in the sight of God. Seeing yourself the way God would have you to see yourself. Now listen, it's important. Humility does not mean that you cannot see yourself as a son of God. Some people say, well, boy, I just, you know, in some form of misdirected humility, I just don't feel worthy to be a son of God. Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. God said you was. That's the kind of speaking that Jesus rebuked Peter over. No. I'm not going to do that, Lord. Jesus said, well, if I don't wash you, you don't have no part with me. He couldn't see that the Lord was doing a service on him to wash him. He thought, that's a servant to do that. I don't know, I have my Lord washing me. And the Lord said, if I don't wash you. Listen, when God says, this is who you are. He's made you that way. He wants you to see yourself that way. He wants us to know that it's all because of what he did for us that we are that way. And we can submit ourselves, humble ourselves, unto him. Amen. And be free to walk in that great liberty that he has called us into. Amen. All right, I'm done. I want you to stand.